Hello, welcome to Breeze In, Booze Out for January.
Breeze In, Booze Out?
Man, I get bullied on here too much. Breeze In, Booze Out for January 2017. This is going to be the first of the year of 2017. How's your year going?
2017. We got a megalomaniac for president.
How's your year going?
Pretty good. I'm unemployed. By choice.
He's going to become a teacher.
Yep.
Dude, good job. Congratulations.
No, thank you.
Yeah, he's...
You know,
it's... How does the zoo feel about that?
You know, she was like, I wish she had something lined up, but I was like, no, I have to do this. It's just wasn't possible to do the certification stuff.
We're going to have to give you, like, a flask. That's when you get your job.
Yeah, yeah. A corduroy jacket with elbow patches and a flask.
And that'll be our present to you, so you can, pour it in your coffee every
morning. Yeah, I'll be going into English and language arts.
What level?
I could do from 4 to 12.
Nice.
If I wanted to. I am qualified, apparently.
I just don't want to see you on the news.
Yeah.
Unless it's for positive things.
I'll be Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds. It's like the only job I can find is like inner city, like Houston.
I have to
teach these kids.
Make a difference, that's all.
Reach these kids.
I have to reach these kids.
Be Billy Chick.
Still me, one of the...
I, for one, welcome our Cheeto overlords. Hey, Zeus, how are you?
I'm doing well. Are you waiting for me to finish this beer? Yeah. How's your 2017?
My 2017 has been pretty awesome.
Heck yeah.
This is
until we came here.
I didn't catch her name.
Kristen.
Actually, we're here at Galveston Bay Beer Company. We didn't even say that.
We're off to a really awesome start this year.
Yeah, we are. So this is Kristen from Galveston Bay Beer Company is hanging around, staring at us. And you can sit here if you
want. Making Sean feel really awkward.
I just wanted to come over and see if you guys are doing okay.
Oh, we're doing. Thank you so much. She just wanted to be on the show.
Man.
My 2017 is pretty good. Yeah.
Yep.
And doing well.
Except for the fact that your internet's not working at your house.
Aside from that, but that's going to be a good fix tonight. So,
hopefully. You got to stay positive on that.
There's still
a lot of 2017 to go. So.
I found out today last night, how hard it is to not have internet. Especially like when you stream your TV shows and everything like that. I was just like...
Yeah.
So I fell asleep at 8 o'clock last night.
Yeah. Okay, so
you got to be really careful to stream.
You and your streaming shows. You want to know how hard it is to live without internet? I had to route trucks last year during Q4 without the internet for a week on my phone. That's awful.
Yeah, but they used to do that in the past. They used to route trucks in the past by phone.
Yeah, by phone, not on phone.
Yeah,
massive difference.
Yeah, but see. This is entertainment. This is after work entertainment. This is when you come home. This is so important.
Xbox.
Yeah.
Porn.
I have no internet though.
How do you not? Never mind.
He has to use his memories to jerk off now.
Oh, first inappropriate comment for Boo Show on 2017 is.
I used the JCPenney ad yesterday. Okay?
Oh hell. There's something.
JCPenney ad.
As I've said
damn
before,
it, not even Victoria's Secret.
As I've said before, and I say every episode, there's something wrong with y'all.
and we promised today, this month, that we're not going to do two in a row.
God, yes,
so
we can't do
February,
that.
So, we'll give you the preview for February later, but we're
not
going
to... Yeah, we discovered that double episodes on the same day tend to lead to very awful, awful things. I'm actually terrified to listen to December. I haven't listened
to it. You haven't listened to it?
Hell no, and I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah, I did some really good edits for you.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I cut your audio and, like, put it in my mouth.
of course you did.
No,
did you cut out butt water?
No, I did not. last month, if you haven't listened to it, it's all there. Everything.
Oh, I thought it was, like, cut so much there's, like, 5 minutes left.
No.
Is this a high welcome to Boo?
The way I...
Okay, thank you. I was
doing the edits, and I'm like, I'm cutting so much of this, fuck it. It's all going on there. I don't care.
In retrospect, I haven't listened to it yet. We probably shouldn't have published it. In retrospect. Captain Hindsight being 2020.
Yeah, maybe on your way home from here, you should listen to it, just in case we have to pull it for because of your job.
Nah. If any backlash was going to happen, it would have happened already. But I'm not the one that's
worried. It's good that you told him that you left most of it, and so you can, like, find out was backlash by now.
At the end of the day, I asked Charlie how he felt about working for a bully in the industry. I mean, I was going to ask him that sober or not. I'm not the biggest fan of Constellation from like a wine and spirit standpoint. What they're doing for beer is fabulous.
I can't wait for Buttwater to message me and be like, "Hey, you guys got me fired."
Nah, that won't happen. James Brown will step in and say,
"No, actually,
they probably don't even know who he is because he never got his name right on the show."
Okay, so
I saw Buttwater at I saw him, I think, a couple weeks ago when they were doing the Velvet Nitro Beers Looking at You.
Oh, nice.
He's really cool about it.
Still haven't tried that beer yet.
It is. Okay, try it off. You tried it, right?
Which one?
The Velvet.
Velvet Nitro.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Good?
That was really good, yeah.
They're bottling it, but man, from draft.
Thing of Beauty.
God.
Does it taste like red velvet?
It tastes. So they make it with beets, not with like artificial flavoring. Yeah. You know, and if I had a bottle of that, that would probably be our beer of the month here with us.
Except for the fact that we're at a local Houston brewery that makes really awesome.
We're getting there. We have our personal ones and all that, but this was just an exemplary example of a really, really good beer.
Really and truly have heard nothing but good things about it. Yeah, I mean, I've also heard that it's a very ballast point.
It is. It is. I can see where you're going, but it's still so good. It pours a clear red.
That's
wicked. So I'm still just like, so like, is it good to have bottled nitro versus draft?
There's nothing wrong with bottled nitro.
Do you lose anything?
No, not really, because the on bottles they have so there's this widget that goes into the bottle.
Okay.
On a glass bottle, it looks a lot like a little rocket ship. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like and not like not like a space shuttle, but it looks like, you know, like a science fiction style little rocket ship.
Okay.
Inside of the cans, there's like two different ways. There's either a ball, or there's a bevel, like a bubble bevel on the bottom, and you see that in Old Chub Nitro, where there's a little bevel on the bottom of the can, and all of those like widgets and everything have inert nitrogen in them, so that when the pressure change happens when you open up the package, it auto releases, so it reinvigorates.
Oh, okay.
So like the ball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when the ball pops and it spins. The widget, the rocket actually has fins on it, so it pops from the top and it spins down. The bevel on the can for like the Oscar Blues Old Chub can actually ruptures and fires upwards. So it basically re-releases and offers nucleation zones for all those gases to come out of the beer and reinvigorate itself. Basically, really and truly, nitrogenated beer is almost it's kind of like Schrodinger's cat. Like when you open it, there's going to be nitrogen there. But when it's sitting on the shelf, it's basically flat.
That's really cool. I didn't know that. Like that sounds like a whole like science experiment.
So you have no idea about nitro beers. You can look at it and be like, is it fizzy or not?
Yeah,
you wouldn't know.
Straight up Schrodinger's cat. It's literally like nitro beer.
Well,
on
yeah,
the shelf
yeah. Until you pop out. The top,
it's... until you pop the top, it's not. Yeah. So it's sitting on the shelf still and in a stable environment. But the second you pop the cap on it, it nitros.
That reaction happens.
Cool. So I've been on a 5-day no beer thing.
That's your fault.
5-day, that's a personal best.
Yeah, personal best since, I don't know, since I was 3. No.
I have a great story one day I'll actually share about what you just said.
Oh, Lord. I do have a funny story. One of my cousins, she was maybe 13 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm Mexican and we have those Mexican parties where we drink beer and fun. Yeah. We forget our beers.
Yep.
She ended up collecting all the leftover beers and then drinking it.
Oh!
She didn't know any better, but she was drunk.
Yep. Yeah. I'll get you there.
It was just kind of a funny story.
Ooh. Wait. So she collected all the empty beers and that was her first beer, or was she like drinking before that?
No, she was 13. That was her first beer.
Oh, God. Oh.
Well, the good thing is, though.
At 13, she couldn't have been her first beer.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, the good thing is.
And what did she drink now? I think is the question everyone wants to know.
Natty ice.
Yeah.
Thank you. But no, she drinks like. She got like a doctorate in international relations, and she's like between Switzerland and Mexico City, like doing all the No, she ended up taking a test, and she became the fifth smartest person in Mexico at one point.
Jesus. Maybe I should drink your family's backwash.
Well, that was a good thing. It wasn't, like, a bunch of strangers. It was, like, three families. Like, more three three parts of our family.
Yeah. She became the fifth smartest
She became the genetically superior Mexican.
By that. Just combining every, like, our learning.
It's just such an odd phrase to hear verbalized. Like, you see crap like that written on, like, participation awards, but to hear it actually verbalized is fabulous.
Yeah, I know. She had, like, a full ride scholarship to, like, the best university in Mexico. And then, for her master, she had a full ride scholarship in Switzerland.
Dude, that's badass. Does she hate the fourth smartest person in Mexico?
More than likely. But now, like, dude, she heads up... She heads up a... I'm pretty sure anybody that's second place to anything hates the first place one, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But...
Well, I mean, she made top five, so that's an accomplishment right there.
She runs, like, a... no groans, but she went... she runs a women's movement organization.
Cool. Very cool.
And it's awesome.
Wait a minute. No groans.
Yeah, there's people that'll groan about that.
Man, like, equality is awesome.
No, it is. It is. And she does... She does some fantastic work all over Latin America.
I was about to say, look, just because I welcome our Cheeto overlords doesn't mean that I approve of our Cheeto overlords.
No, she does some fantastic work for Latin America. And I mean, in a sense, because Latin America is such a masochistic, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot more misogynist.
Patriarchal.
Patriarchal works.
Yeah.
Continent.
I believe, yeah. There's group of countries. There's more work for her to do over there than probably there would be for her to do over here.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, she does that, and, you know, it's beautiful.
Dude, that's really cool.
Yeah. That's your cousin?
That's my cousin. Yeah.
Very nice.
Wow, we just went off a whole tangent. But that's still a positive tangent.
That's like the vein of this show, though, is like, you try to say, like, the topic of the show, and all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, what the deuce are we talking about?
Yeah. So my first beer. Shit. It was actually Sam Adams Cherry Wheat, snuck to me by my uncle.
Was it really?
Yeah,
nice.
When I was 15.
So I grew up down in the countryside, so like for my first beer was a Bud Light when I was 18.
Okay, to be honest, my first beer as someone that grew up in a very like strict family.
I was drinking scotch before I was drinking beer.
Oh.
My first beer growing up in a very strict family was until I was 21 years old.
There we go.
Congratulations. Well done, sir.
Yeah. I mean, I would sneak tastes, but it wasn't, you know, full beer.
Yeah.
And
high school graduation, sitting in my driveway, me and my group of friends sat down with my dad and their dad and had a beer together.
Now,
whiskey's a different story. Whiskey,
My dad would give me a little bit of whiskey, like, every now and then. He's like, here, take some, you know. But beer, because it was, like, so public and all that, he's like, no, you know, don't drink so much. But, it was a Bud Light, I remember that. Then my first craft beer ended up being Hopadillo. No, it wasn't Hopadillo. I forgot what my first craft beer was.
Okay, what is the origin of this career?
That's an issue that I have. Well, granted, but you're not nearly the beer guy that I am. My first craft beer, like my first like non-mainstream beer, is something that I've just never forgotten. In fact, I even remember exactly which apartment I lived in when I had it, and it was Breckenridge Avalanche when Breckenridge first came to the state.
No, going back, Hopadillo Negro was my first.
Really?
Yeah.
Good lord, they were around for over a year and a half by the time that came out.
No, for me, they were barely starting. Oh, so they were?
They'd been around for a while before Hopadillo Negro came out.
Oh man,
about 18 months.
Mm.
Yeah, that was during year two of the 5-year plan to be sold to AB and Bev.
And it wouldn't be unless, Evo unless show.
Unless you count Boddington's.
No, absolutely I count Boddington's.
Okay, Boddington's was my first one,
I count most specialty imports as craft, even though they may be gigantic production facilities across seas. But anything coming out of Scotland and Ireland, that's 100% craft, except for Guinness.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Guinness is made in New York, for God's sakes.
I mean, yeah, someone walks by and sprinkles a little bit of something in there, you know?
Well, you know, the Irish dry stout is actually really complex to brew. It's quite a bit harder than you think it is. Especially being in the stout style where everyone thinks that, like, you know, it's got to be ABV heavy. But the stout style is based more on color and grains than it is alcohol. A lot of people don't realize the reason why you can drink a 12 pack of Guinness and not feel bad in the morning is because it's 3% alcohol.
Yeah.
What are you trying to flag down? What do you need?
Don't worry about it, bud.
I chugged more than a few Guinnesses in my college days.
I have a great Guinness story involving a Scotsman named Angus, and after a rugby practice, it was a great night.
Oh man, I kind of don't even want to hear the story.
Oh, it's so good because you can't even make any of it.
The back of that book jacket is something I would read.
So y'all might be wondering why we're being like overly nostalgic and talking about like various points in our lives of like memories and all this other jazz. It's because
we're all gonna die.
Well, that, and more importantly, we just had America's Pastime name their Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Jeff Bagwell.
Wait, give me a second. Hey, Kristen, what was your first craft beer?
My first craft beer was a Sierra Nevada.
When?
Ooh, which one?
What? Yeah, when and which? Come closer.
Just their Sierra Nevada IPA.
Which one?
The one standard one? The one that everybody...
Just the standard pale ale?
Yeah, just the standard pale ale.
And when? How long ago?
When was it?
Hmm. Yesterday?
No, it was probably 20. At the time.
So yeah, you weren't even legal to drink. Sorry, this is illegal.
Whenever I moved to California, that's the first time I had a craft beer.
I just spilled some of my beer on it, sorry. So, what did you think? Did I hook you on? Or?
It was pretty good. I still drink it today.
But was that it? Was that the turning point? Or were you like, and then you went back and drank like Smirnoff or something?
I've never liked Smirnoff, actually. Ah. I used to drink Lone Star. Ugh.
Right here. Still drinking.
Okay, here's the thing about Lone Star. I found out that...
Drop a lime into it, it's Dos Equis.
If you go to a bar, if you go to a venue, and they have Lone Star there, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it'll be cheap. It's going to give you the same thing that like Bud Light, Miller Lite, whatever gives you, but right. For a reasonable price.
It's a price to have something in your hand so you're not awkwardly dancing around.
There's this place in South San Antonio called The Friendly Spot. Gigantic beer bar, 60 taps. You know what they do all day, every day? $2 PBR. I'm okay with that. I drank my fair share of 22 ounce PBRs there for $2. Why? Because
that place in Houston called that has all those craft beers, a Flying Saucer, I think.
Yep.
That's
what it is. I don't think they have anything.
They don't really. They have
so many. That
they have so much
like,
that
look.
They.
Yeah. Look, our menu is like 6 pages, guys.
That sounds like beer market code. You've got a lot of venues nowadays and a lot of bars that kind of really get away from the essence of beer, where you know being completely craft is awesome, but you know sometimes you got to respect where you came from, and at one point or another, Budweiser and Pabst and all those guys, they were craft. Mm-hmm. Hey, that was a century ago, but still.
I forgot when the last time I was. As a beer snob, I usually discredit, you know, Lone Star and all that. But then I went, it was a concert or whatever, and I'm like, what am I going to do for beer? They don't have anything here. I grabbed a Lone Star and I was like, God damn it, this is not that bad. I'm going to go sit in the corner.
Just, I mean, it's like the dark anything that cookies. Sells anything. It's like you want to have the range there. It's like you want the...
Oh, wait, no. It's
the Safeway brand party pizzas, but then you also want the DiGiorno's.
Well, no, it's when I was unemployed and, like, I don't want to spend, like, that much and just get one drink. I can get 3 Lone Star tall boys for the price of one drink. So then it's like, okay, that's going to happen to you, Sean.
And now you understand Middle America.
You're in the Woodlands, it's like $9 for a pint of some crappy beer.
That's why whenever I go to like an Astros game or something, I'm drinking $7 Montejo like it's going out of style because it's 24 ounces for $7.
Yeah.
Instead of paying $9.
Well, 24,
bucks.
That's not bad.
$9 for Miller.
Yeah, instead of paying $9 for 12 ounces of Miller. Yeah. So anyways.
They're sitting there on like those fancy kegs like, nobody wants these.
So I think we think it's appropriate, and we live in the Space City and we know that Super Bowl LI is going to take place. What? That's how everyone's marketing.
My Roman numeral class in grade school didn't go up to the L's.
What is that, 50?
51.
51?
Oh.
Why is L Roman numeral for 50?
Because it's large.
I thought,
I'm just putting this off because I know nothing about football. So.
I thought it had to do with the Chinese New Year and it was Super Bowl Lee.
Yes, there we go. Or it'd be Super Bowl A.
No, but seriously, Super Bowl is going to be here in Houston. Of course, up until last week, the Texans were still in the running for the playoffs, which made everybody excited, including the Cowboys, too. What's up?
Nothing.
No, last week they were still in the running. Yeah. You know? You can't say no because they were physically there.
Like, I've been in Houston so long, it was just like, it was one of those things where it's just like, oh, this would be nice if, but
no,
it's probably not going to happen.
Well, like the fact that we entered the season with Brock Osweiler, a quarterback in Houston, actually thought they were going to make the Super Bowl. That was really cute.
But we did end the season at Foxborough.
As everyone's
or
season
or Gillette Stadium
ends.
Or whatever, yeah.
Okay, so fun little like side fact about Tom Brady. Tom Brady in the postseason is 28-9.
I thought it was 29-9.
No, it's not 29. It's 30. He's now 30. See, 34 wins. No, 33 wins. So he's 23-9. Of those 9 losses, 5 of them have the same last name attached to them because he's been beaten by both Manning brothers a lot. So think about it. Both Mannings are out. Out of the playoffs. Every year that he doesn't run into Roethlisberger or a Manning, he wins a Super Bowl. He's running into a Roethlisberger on Sunday.
This weekend, yes. But you know what? I watched the Texans game. I watched very closely, and it really seemed that...
Oh, they looked great for
30
minutes.
Hold on. Give me a second. After the half, it seemed like the Patriots scrambled to deposit $10 million more into the refs' pockets. Because I saw a lot of calls that were not supposed to be there.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, if you really slowed down the film, you could find holding on every call. You can find pass interference on every call. I mean, I
don't know if I was. Did you see Tom Brady being a baby the first whole thing? Like,
absolutely.
Oh my God, they touched me!
Well,
please,
come
on,
well,
call.
Yeah, well, but have you seen a picture of Jadeveon Clowney next to human beings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you actually seen him next to other athletes, dude? Last week, or sorry, 2 weeks ago, after the Oakland game, they had a picture of him standing next to the Monday Night Football crew, which is basically everyone like 6'4 or better, height-wise. And he was still head and shoulders taller and a little bit wider than all of them, and he runs a 4.7 40. That is a bad human being. That's a zoo animal running at Tom Brady. Which, I mean, I can understand Tom Brady's concern.
So what are you saying, like, when J.J. Watt and Clowney come back, or J.J. Watt comes back and...
You're still not going to make it out of the AFC because you don't have a quarterback.
I'm not saying, hold on, let me finish.
All of it ends with Tom Brady.
Ugh. I hate that guy. Anyways, but...
See, and it's so funny, as a sports fan, I'm pro-evil empire until Tom Brady's involved.
Yeah. No,
I love watching the Yankees and Red Sox. I'm a gigantic LeBron fan, but I can't stand Belichick and Tom Brady, but it's the same person as like the other sports. I don't get it. Like, It's because I'm a Colts fan I hate Tom Brady.
Yeah. Now, well, let's go back to the issue at hand, which is beer. And watching beer...
Absolutely.
Watching the NFL with beer. Watching beer with the NFL. Watching the NFL with beer.
Watching beer with the NFL? Awesome. That sounds like a good time.
So, what do you drink when you watch the NFL normally?
Honestly, it depends on my mood, but 9 times out of 10, I've usually got. It's just like when Chris and I talk about whiskey. Like, you've got the one good whiskey that you have a glass of, and then you've got your maintenance whiskey. So it's kind of the same thing with beer. Like, I've got my one good beer that I'll drink, and that changes from time to time. Lately, I've been really jonesing on Buffalo Bayou's Tropical Rotundin.
Mm.
But then the follow-up to that, like for my maintenance beer, has been either Good Ass, or it's been Indian Well Silver Sun, or the occasional Coors Light. Okay. Just something nice and light, something easy. Because honestly, it's just like, I mean, beer is just like whiskey. You have one really good beer, and one really high ABV, just bomb of a beer, everything tastes the same. And really, do you really need to drink like 5 glasses of 10% beer? Really?
Yeah.
You don't even remember the second half of your drinking 5 glasses of 10% beer.
It's like you got to the top of the mountain. You can just skate down.
Yeah.
You can just ski down there.
Absolutely,
right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, take the bunny slip. Don't take the black diamond.
Exactly. Just, you're just along for the ride at that
point.
Yeah,
no, what I've been drinking is for football is Aldi IPA.
That's a good one.
Just because Founders makes a great 15-pack for like, what?
$17, which is about what you can expect.
But no, normally you could find it for less than that. Everybody has a sale on Aldi IPA, like, once. Like, either Specs, HEB, Kroger, not Kroger, sorry. Specs or HEB has it for like about $14.
Oh, see, for this weekend, I've got a couple. I've got a real good friend of mine that I was hoping was going to join us today, but just didn't. It just didn't work out. He's going to be over for both games on Sunday, and I've got a couple of 4-packs of Galveston based Bull Shark in my fridge already.
Nice.
And I'm making a run to go find a suitcase of Good Ass. Because you can buy a suitcase of Good Ass for like $15.
You know, I had Good Ass. I didn't like it.
That's the whole point. You're not supposed to like it.
Okay, it's good.
Water. It's 3.2% water for $15.
It tasted like Flint, Michigan water to me.
But that's the point of the entire style. It's like, how do you make Miller Lite taste better? You don't.
Man, I can't do that. I'm sorry. What is that? Is that because none of your teams are in the championships?
And no, it's just maintenance beer. I'm going to be cooking. I'm going to be cooking and enjoying beer.
Get all day IPA instead, or
I don't. I can't go all day on hops like that anymore. I can't.
Yeah, you spike like a little bit, and then you
can side
eye. Well, actually, their seasonals are always the same thing.
Seasonals are really good. I really would not mind trying to track down some of that Pivo. Pivo's good.
Pivo's a Firestone now.
Oh shit, it is.
Yeah.
My bad. I just screwed up my brewery. So. It happens. There's 5,000 of them now.
Yeah, no. Pivo's. What is their. I don't know. I really. They had their PC pills in the suitcase.
That's what I was thinking of, the PC pills. I'm sorry, not Pivo. I was thinking of the PC.
Check specs, they always hold back some of that. Because like I just got the Azaka IPA.
See, I'm actually going to run over to Specs tomorrow because Specs on Bay Area Boulevard has been closing out Goliad's Watermelon Goza.
Oh, yeah, we got some of that.
$3.99 a 4-pack.
Also, the Wasatch Pumpkin is $2.99.
What?
Per 6-pack?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might have to get one of those also.
Okay.
Yeah. Sean's like,
okay. We're making it stop.
One of the best pumpkin beers out there. It's fabulous. Really and truly, what I drink this weekend is probably going to kind of change by game. Really and truly. I don't know what the schedule is the problem. Like, I know
it's all Sunday. All day Sunday.
Well, obviously. But I don't know who's the 2 o'clock and who's the 5 o'clock this week. But, I mean, if the Packers and the Falcons are the 2 o'clock game, I might not drink anything during the 5 o'clock game because that 2 o'clock game is going to be fan-frickin-tastic.
Yeah, no, the Steelers and the Patriots is going to be great.
Steelers-Patriots is going to be a good game, but that Falcons-Packers game is going to be fabulous.
The Packers game last week was,
Let's talk about murdering an entire organization real fast.
Did you see that,
the police sketch?
No, did you see the ticket prices for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the second the Cowboys were out, they dropped $800.
Well, yeah, that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Texans and the Cowboys, they just...
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense because no one's willing to... You're kind of cutting out your people that are willing to drive from Dallas.
So you can actually go to the Super Bowl.
You can actually get there? For, maybe like half a grand?
I don't know.
No, the cheapest ticket right now is $3,300.
Ooh.
All right, let's go to Royal Rumble, Sean. For last weekend's game, we actually had a really good weekend. I had family over. I saw that one already.
It's so great.
Yeah. So, no, I had family over. Brothers. My sister's boyfriend is trying to get into craft beer, and I ended up teaching him a little bit. We went to Beers Looking at You, helping him pick out a 6-pack and everything. Mm-hmm. Apparently, his favorite out of the 6-pack was Los Locos.
Say that again?
Los Locos from, they do the brainless stuff.
Knee Deep.
No, not Knee Deep.
No?
To the phones!
Beer Avengers, assemble.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Well, it's a Mexican lager made with salt and lime. And he, instantly said that he's a huge Modelo fan. He's like, man, I'm going to leave Modelo just for this. And
epic beer.
God, that makes me kind of love Epic so much.
Oh, I love them too,
dude. Tart and juicy. Oh, I kill sour IPA.
I didn't like that too much.
Oh, so. you can go drive off and leave me with the podcast. Sean and I'll find our way home.
You don't know how to work a computer, so
no. I could make the mic stand up,
but he didn't know how to. Yeah, he hasn't tried craft beer, and that's all he was drinking. We went back and I had to buy him a six pack of that because he was like, I love it so much.
Hmm. Okay, so here, here's an interesting question for you. And this question was posed to the members of Houston Let's Talk Texas Craft on Facebook. If you had to build a six pack for a craft beer virgin, what are you building?
So it's sort of like a gift bag for like welcome to the world.
Yeah, kind of like kind of like a starter kit.
Oh,
if you had to build, and it has to be every beer in the six pack has to be different.
Hmm. Here's the thing: I've done that before at a store.
Okay, so what did you build?
But I always ask them, "What kind of beer do you drink first?" You know, and they may have like Shiner. Okay. You know, they may have like Bud Light. They may be like, "Oh, I'm more into ciders," or "I'm more into." And I've had all these happen.
Okay, let's say you don't know the answer. You don't know the answer to that question. What beer do they drink?
So if they
and you had to, so if you're going blind and you had to build a six pack for a craft beer virgin blind, where do you build it?
Bombshell Blonde, first of all, because that's a very basic beer to get them in there. Real Ales Pilsner.
Hans's?
Yeah, Hans. Okay. Hans Pils. And Hopadillo.
Okay.
Because it's a good introduction to IPAs. Mm-hmm. And Weed Whacker.
Yeah.
Or Lawnmower.
St. Arnold's going to say.
Weed Whacker or Lawnmower. Either one. Yeah, one of those two. And then I get them into... What is this stuff? Oh, the foam dough. Dome foam.
For a cream ale, okay.
For a cream ale. And then the stout, I leave it open. It's whatever I see. That's a little bit more basic.
I mean, there's plenty of those out there.
So, I mean, I keep it local.
That's a solid six-pack to start for somebody to, like, start on craft beer. That's pretty solid.
It's a local six-pack, and I try to keep it local. The stout, you know, more than likely I'll get something that's local also.
See, and I'm opposed
to... Oh, sorry. Rocket Fuel.
Okay. I'm opposed to this question to a bunch of people that I know because what I'm curious is to see like how many different six packs people build, because mine would be Copperhead Medusa, Robert Earl Keen Honey Pilsner, Carbach Love Street. I also had Rocket Fuel in mine. Yellow Rose, and then. Buried Hatchet.
Now, for me, I think that Yellow Rose would be too
intense. Like,
oh my god!
But that's
so
the point,
good.
Though.
But the thing is, you get into that, and then you're like, "Wow, nothing is as good as this," you know, kind of thing that I can get local. But it's like usually when I give them these things, like, "Hey, you like this though? Try this afterwards," you know. I don't know if they remember that or anything like that, but it's something you tell them.
You're basically giving them like a Spider-Man, you know, where it's like there's all these legs sticking off, or it's just like,
it's just like
try the different things. Like,
look at the styles that are on the can and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Now you can follow this one down the rabbit hole.
Also with Medusa, that's a great beer. That's an amazing beer. But man, I think that'll, like, for a first-time craft drinker.
Well, that's just like Lone Pine Yellow Rose. I mean, you can't... And just in my opinion, I mean, you've got when you break down that starter pack, you've got four entry level beers, and then you've got Yellow Rose and Medusa. So I mean, you know,
but it's still styles that you need a little bit of practice to get to. IPA, you can't just tell someone here's an IPA without them.
The market does it all, but breweries do it all the time. Though I mean, it's the hottest category.
They do. But when you actually talk to a person that hasn't drank a beer, or like a craft beer. But you know, my sister's boyfriend, I gave him Space Dust.
Such a great beer.
Yeah, we say that.
Oh my god.
We say that, but I gave it to him, and he's like, "What the fuck is this? This is disgusting."
I am so happy that's being brewed up a high 10.
but that's what I'm saying. It's like you give that to them, and it's a different palate. They've not seasoned. They haven't wrecked their palates with those double, triple, you know, discovering all these IPAs, and the same thing with the quadruple. They need that double, that triple.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with like wanting to walk somebody through the progression, but I mean, there's really no better way to introduce Belgium than 12%.
I don't know. Is, I mean, could, that's 10%.
No, Medusa's 10.5, but the quad style like spans from 10 to 13.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like you don't want to like dump someone into right into yeah. like something.
You would
that
turn them off. And then you got to put a lot more effort into walking them back.
Yeah, someone like, that's not used to that on their palate is just going to be like, ugh, I hate this. They can't appreciate it yet. Until, because, honestly, IPAs do take some training to your palate.
Well, I mean, same thing with Gozos.
Same thing with that, you know?
Yeah, they, I mean, I, they, I
I've heard people tell me, ew, this is semen, you know? And Eric just...
I believe that was in the correspondence of July 1st, 2013.
Well, because it's so salty, you know?
We have a party that's getting ready to come into this tap room, so I was literally just trying not to gut laugh. Just Jesus Christ.
But, I mean, it's like, yeah, because ghosts are so salty that people are like, what the fuck is this?
Hold on, wait a minute, wait a minute. I think we have a better question here. How do you know what it tastes like?
Your mom told me.
Ah, oh, see, that's not very nice. She's a saint. How dare you?
I'm kidding, Eric.
That classic.
I'm kidding, Eric.
That classic way.
We're 12 years old today. fine. but no, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Eric's mom, I was just totally kidding that you're a saint.
No, he just knows because she's...
Now listen here, man tooth. I'm gonna beat you silly. I'm gonna take your mom, Dorothy Man Tooth, out for a great seafood dinner. Anyways, I understand where you're coming from a complexity of style, but I mean, also you can't. Also, you know, you give somebody four starter beers, you got to throw them off the deep end at least once.
But there's so many styles though, because you can't say that with those four styles you're going to fall in love with craft beer.
Well, no, that's that's the reason why you throw them in the deep end.
I don't know, man.
Give them a really awesome. You know, pour somebody Duchess. Really have fun. Let's go with sour Robitussin for an entry level.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's the thing. Duchess de Bourgogne is considered the entry level sour. And it's literally sour Robitussin.
But I think that's one of the reasons the sour is so popular now, because people had to take some time to get used to it.
Meh.
When the craft beer explosion started, they had to learn.
Meh.
You may say that, but man, I've had people.
Dude,
like,
I still love sours, and I don't understand the sour market.
Exactly.
See? Yeah, that's why I'm saying meh. Nobody knows what they're drinking.
Oh man, yeah. So. I don't know. Oh, also for the Texans game, I opened the 11 from Rarnsons.
Good.
It was the wheat wine ale, aged in Cabernet barrels with cherries added.
Oh, that's gonna be a fun sound. I said that one then, quarter of a second out.
Sorry,
it was so beautiful.
I love how you can actually see where it fell.
Yeah.
Just thump.
But no, it was
I'll
so
try
beautiful,
to keep it
that,
up, guys.
That one. I forgot the name. It was some German name. I don't speak German, so.
It's okay. I did I had a bottle of Old 300 from a branch line that I opened up. It was a Solera blend, 33% in 2-year-old wine barrels. 33%
you should have come over for that
barrels.
Game.
No, I wasn't leaving my house. I don't watch football with other people. I look at live sports fan the same way that I look at live music fan. I like my music and I like my sports. I don't like the people.
It's a fair point. You just want to go there and just. That's why it's kind of hard to see like a lot of sports events like live.
But so if you listen back to last year, you know April's dumpster fire season for me when all the festivals start.
Oh yeah, I remember that. So there you go. Yeah. Right, then we're coming up on it. So.
Yeah, we're getting real close to Houston dumpster fire season for me. So let's talk about Galveston Bay for a second. So we're joined by Mark Henry at the moment, who is the owner of Galveston Bay here in Dickinson. Beautiful tap room, beautiful facility. Christy's just kind of looming, which is fine. We like looming. Kristen, crap.
Yeah, Kristen, you can come over here. It doesn't matter.
I just love you guys.
So, Mark, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well. And drinking some great Galveston Bay beer.
Got a beer in your hand. It can't be that bad.
Yeah, I actually finished my third beer already. So the three I've had are amazing. I've had the Catch Rigged.
Yep.
Which is a great hazy IPA.
Yep.
And I started off with... What did I start off
Dark
with?
And Stormy.
Oh, the Dark and Stormy?
Yeah, you started off with Dark and Stormy. I started off with Watermelon. I moved into Blueberry.
Which actually, Dark and Stormy actually hurts to drink as an IPA. And I'm saying that in a good way. It's so hoppy. And
yes, it
tastes like soy sauce.
He likes the paint.
Yes, I like the paint. So, and then the third one, the Catch Rig was the third one that I drank. So,
great. Bull Shark also.
Oh, no, the third one was Bull Shark. Never mind. So. Which we'll talk about in a little bit because...
Okay. Yep. So give us a brief history of Galveston Bay.
Sure. In 2005, there was a brewpub for sale in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I had a business there at that time. It was called Rick and Jack's. I went and bought them. It was a brewpub in the truest sense. It was half bar and half brewery. I found out pretty quickly I did not like the bar business. So after about 18 months, I found a buyer for the bar portion only, sold that off. But in the meantime, I found I did like the brewery quite a bit. So I sold the bar off. I kept the brewery, moved all the equipment here. I've owned this property since 2005, about that same time frame. And I'm from here. So I brought it back here, but I couldn't do anything with it until about 2013. So in 2013, when Texas got a little more up to date with their brewery laws, the wife and I decided to put the brewery back together.
Good stuff.
Nice.
So opened in 2014, then, right?
We got licensed in 2014. The actual work started in 2013, but all of this was aircraft parts storage and machine shop. So getting all that out of here, that took 3 months all by itself.
Oh, I believe that.
It's because Mark carried it all out on his own.
Yeah. Some days it felt like that. Yes.
Big straps, on him, pulling him out.
Yes.
You need a drawing of that in the bar. Just a view, pulling out, engines.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Rick and Jacks that I bought in Lake Charles.
Oh, no. I'm just saying you pulling out the machinery and the big straps.
I had to pull it out.
Yeah, in the back building, he has a great, two or three Vietnam War Hueys back there.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Just awesome in the back room.
My wife's Vietnamese. What are you trying to say?
Nothing. He's an aircraft. Come on now.
Let's go. We're very inappropriate on here, so just
got it.
Easy going. Let's do it.
He's inappropriate. We're both very professional.
I know.
The cover for us.
So we've got a flight of their mainstays. I really want to get into this because they're.
Yeah. So Galveston Bay actually makes about 40 to 45 recipes that they keep in constant rotation at the tap room.
Oh yeah. Right.
But outside of the tap room, there's only 6 commercial releases, and that's what we're about to go through.
Now here's the thing. Before we start, it's like a lot of breweries pride themselves in being experimental.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Galveston Bay needs to be up there in the way that they do their beers. I've been here a couple of times, and like you said, they have all those recipes that they rotate, but every one release surprises me, all those releases. My wife enjoys the blueberry wheat. She doesn't really even drink a lot of beer, but she's
No, so, but Galveston Bay is by far and away the most underrated brewery in the city.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, no. There was one release. It was like a one-time thing that I came in here for, and it was amazing.
We do barrel-aged that are single releases, right? Because they take between 6 months and 12 months for them to age properly.
I also had your eggnog, which was great, too.
That was mine. We have to give that away. We can't sell that. We have no license for liquor.
It was like buy a beer, get it for free.
Yes.
I got one, and it was. I told my wife, I was like, I have to go there just to try it.
I thought it would be a nice little gimmick. I spent every night making more eggnog. We went through it way faster than I thought we would.
Well, because it's delicious.
It is. It is very good, but it's ingredient heavy and time consuming.
My favorite is Firecracker.
Yes, that's only 4th of July release, right?
I was going to say, I haven't had that one.
It's only available the 4th of July.
It's a peppered pale ale.
It rarely lasts the weekend. Yes.
So bringing up another brewery from Houston, kind of like the Rotunda with that peppery taste? Or?
No. It's actually like pepper. It's
real peppers are used in the fermentation.
Yeah, not like peppercorn, like actual, like straight up, like bell pepper, ancho pepper, jalapeno.
Yes,
it's more peppery than it is spicy because the hops and everything, and the pale ale, malt bill really mask the actual spiciness of it. They only make 10 gallons a year. It's taproom only, and it is absolutely delightful.
Hmm. Now, I'd like to go back. We were actually talking about the NFL and, the football season is coming around.
Right.
You guys did giveaways for the Texans touchdowns.
We do. I am a firm believer in supporting the home team.
Same here.
We support the Texans, and for every Texans touchdown, we give away a free pint of beer for those that are in the tap room. Unfortunately, we weren't able to give away a whole lot of beer this season, but we tried. We really tried.
But that's something you'll do every season. Though,
absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's one pint to give away is reward, you know.
We'll do it for every touchdown.
Yeah, until they run the score up on, like, the Jaguars, and it's, like, 70 to 10.
And then...
then we'll give away seven pints a person, whatever it takes.
Everyone's like, we need to go here now, guys.
Yeah, so I was going to say, how did this season treat you?
Well, we could have used more touchdowns and more wins, but all in all, not too bad. We assume that at some point they'll have to recognize us as the official beer of the Texans. And that'll be our payday.
So next, for the 2017 season, we got to get a new quarterback, and then we have to come here to Big Austin Bay and enjoy our Sundays.
Indeed.
Yes. So, all right, let's get into this flight.
All right, so we're going to start with Lafitte Sweet.
Yes.
So please, be our guest.
This was from the original brew pub. It's not the exact recipe, but the recipe that we had there was pretty good, in that we wanted a very traditional, basic Hefeweizen. We didn't want anything fancy about it. We wanted it brewed in accordance with the German purity laws. We wanted everything to be traditional. And we have even had German citizens from Germany come in here and say, that's a very good Hefeweizen. And that's exactly what we were looking for.
That's awesome. Oh, to get that recognition is really good.
Yeah, it's just a super solid rendition of the style, too.
That's what I drink probably more than anything, because it's nice, light, refreshing. It's got a little banana flavor to it. And, mm-hmm. and you can really just drink it all night long.
No, that's very... I don't want to say this in a condescending term, but it's very simple.
It is, and that was our objective. Yes.
Try that again.
Maybe you missed like three takes.
Maybe you missed something.
So Galveston Bay falls under something new for us as a review, because this is a brand that I represent out in Houston. So by the conversation that Jesus and I had when I joined the podcast and I started writing for the host website that Space City Nerd, I actually am not allowed to review any of the beers that I represent.
Okay, I'll do it for you.
Well, yeah, so
I give it a 10 out of 11.
Oh, sorry,
11 out of
10.
11 out of 10.
Absolutely. But no, so what we do is the agreement that Jesus and I had is that whenever that happened, there'd be an impartial third party, Sean, here to review it for us. So, Sean, what are your thoughts?
I like the Hefeweizen very much. I start off with like a lot of Hefeweizen, so this is always, like you said, it's kind of my go-to. You know, like I always really appreciate like the wheat and the citrusy after, you know, back notes of it. And then when you said like banana, like that's when it hit me on the palate.
Yes.
Like, there is like that little delicate sort of base.
Right.
Of banana right there.
Sean is...
So I do like... I very much like this one.
Too. We're expanding Sean's horizons in beer, so...
Good.
This is great. So what's the next one?
Lafitte's Watermelon. The Watermelon Wheat Beer.
In early 14, I would say, we were experimenting with a lot of recipes, and we had thought that a couple of different fruit beers might be okay. And watermelon and raspberry... I'm sorry, watermelon and... I think it was a pineapple, we had said would go good with a Hefeweizen in the background. So we experimented with that. The watermelon wheat, as we call it, turned out to be really better than we had expected. The other fruit that I'm drawing a blank on right now did not turn out so well. I do tell people, we make bad beer occasionally, but we pour it out. We don't try to sell it. So the name is interesting because I found out quickly it took so long to secure trademark rights for any of these beers, anywhere from 18 months to 2 years. I didn't have that kind of time to get watermelon out the door. So I said, it's going to be watermelon wheat. It's not a trademarkable name, and it's done.
Well, the thing for me, right off the bat, it tastes, and this is not a bad thing either, it tastes like a combination of amoxicillin, zebra stripe gum, and snow cones.
That's okay. I have not heard that combination before.
Like the bubble gum amoxicillin.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like the first thing I notice about it is like the aroma before I even right. taste it. It's just like it's got that great watermelon bubble gum scent to it. I guess so. It kind of prepares you for the taste.
I'll be honest. It has surprised me in how popular it is, and it has surprised me that people come in here and say, "I don't like beer, but I like your watermelon wheat. I'll drink that all day long."
And I can see why. Though.
Yeah.
It's like watermelon juice.
Right. That's an accurate description.
When we rolled it out commercially over the summer, we turned like three fermenters pretty quickly inside of about two months.
Yes.
Just insane.
Wow. When it's 100 degrees outside, it does really well. When it's 30 degrees outside, it doesn't sell at all.
Well, you're down in Galveston Bay, so
fortunately, it's more 130 here. So.
Exactly. Yeah, I think what we were like 61 day and 80 today, so
right.
That was as well. When we first got here, I ordered a pint of that, and that was like my first thought. I was like, man, this would be great. It was just like super hot outside.
It is.
Well, you know what you drink on your patio now.
Exactly. That's.
And that's our second product going into cans. And
there you go, Sean.
As a result of the demand and the request for it.
And so our next one is we're changing up fruits.
Yep, we're going from watermelon to blueberry, the blueberry blonde ale.
Right, and we had selected the blonde to be the backdrop for both blueberry and raspberry. They both did really well. Blueberry just outpaced raspberry, and so we kind of stuck with it. And the funny story on blueberry, you know, you don't know what your beer is going to taste like for 2 weeks or 3 weeks sometimes. So you put together a recipe, you hope it's going to taste like blueberry blonde, and then you put it out on tap, and we sold out in 4 hours. So we said, well, we have a home run, but I can't replace it for 3 more weeks.
I gave him a literary joke, and he was like, shut up, Jesus. I told him it's neither salty or Veruca tasting because of Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka's.
Oh, right.
Veruca Salt. That's what you should name this one.
Well, that was another. I don't have time to trademark a name, so it's going to get a non-trademarkable name of Blueberry Blonde. No.
Wow. Eric, stop. Don't facepalm, please.
No, I just got the joke. I didn't realize it was.
Really?
I didn't realize
it
was.
See, I just copped to it straight up. I was like, I'm not a Willy Wonka fan, so I didn't get.
So, Sean, thoughts on the blueberries?
I like that one, too, very much. I mean, full disclosure, it's like, that was like the second pint that I ordered since I've been here. And I just kind of like, I'm very open to like the blueberry flavor. I like blueberry in a lot of things, the juice. Actual just like the raw berries, it's one of my favorite tastes in on my palate, so having the beer kind of like kind of cover that, just even like basically like subtly, you know, you get it like right up at the front, but it's still there, it still hangs around. I like that a lot.
And one of our competitors in that style, we find a lot of pulp in the beer. Oh. And we find that a little bit off-putting, so we intentionally make sure there's no sediment left. We just want you to get a nice, clean blonde with a blueberry flavor.
Who had the pulp issue?
It's in a bottle, and I'm not going
to
tell you.
He doesn't want to say it all.
No, I don't remember the name. I just okay. It's in a bottle, though.
I'm trying to think.
I poured it into a glass, and I saw little bits running in.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Blueberry.
Yeah.
So there's no question they're using blueberries, but I don't know how it enhances the drinking experience.
Yeah, the only people that I can think of that make a blueberry in bottles is Sea Dog from Michigan.
It could have been that. It was not a Texas beer.
Yeah.
So it could have been that.
Yeah, because the only people that are playing with blueberry in the state. Well, yeah, Sweetwater Blue, but the only people that are playing with blueberry right now here in Texas is Fetching Lab, and they do a blueberry.
It definitely wasn't Fetching Lab. Yeah,
because Brett uses teas and uses.
And this goes back 2 years or more.
I don't know if you had an actual pulp in there. You know, like what I like about this one, it's almost kind of like very much like kind of more of like a syrups. Blueberry, like, that you put into a pie.
But we like to consider it like muffins. It's like a blueberry muffin.
Gives it a platform.
Yeah, and blueberry is going to make its way into cans later this year.
We're
also,
shooting for
right?
May, correct. That'll be the third release.
Well, that's another one I have in my fridge.
So, why the name Sunny Day for an IPA?
We first brewed that in, that would have been the summer of 13. Scott was not working for me yet. He was doing a 6-month-long interview. And we came up, he had this idea for this IPA. And, you know, and my first comment was, there's 1,000 IPAs out there. What makes ours different? And he said, it's refreshing. You're going to love it. And I don't know exactly how the name Sunny Day came up. The funny part about the trademark of Sunny Day is I thought I'd get clobbered on this one. I thought that, you know, I'm going to have a lot of protests lodged, and there's going to be a lot of, not a problem at all. So it sailed right through. So that was our first trademark that we ever
Here's the thing, I had my first glass of Sunny Day at a bar that I will not name, and I hated it. It was
really?
It was awful. I just, And I came to the brewery, I had it.
Was this pre or post you liking hops?
No, I've always liked hops.
Okay.
Fair but enough. What it was, it's the keg was old.
Yes, we had that issue in probably mid to late 14. We did not
control. And it was around that time too.
How long they kept the keg before they put it on tap.
Mm-hmm.
And we did pick up a couple of kegs after hearing complaints like that, yes.
And so, like, I came to the brewery maybe a month or two after. A little bit reluctant, but trying it fresh, trying it here at the brewery, it changed my mind on it. It's really good. Like I said, it's like a porch IPA.
And our ingredient list is very important to us. And I think that a lot of breweries put minimal amount of effort into grain bill and try to hop it to death, especially an IPA. Our grain bill is very important to us, so much so that one of the grains in this beer we can only get from one supplier. So we get 99% of our grain from Brees. We get this one grain, which is proprietary, and Brees can't deliver to us from another supplier. And it's worth that to us to drive across town to get 50 pounds at a time to make the grain balance out the way we want it.
And that grain taste makes a lot of difference. I can taste that on the back end.
It's honey malt, so it's a naturally sweeter kind of malt. Mm.
Yeah, honey malt is very quickly becoming more and more popular because lager makers, especially, are starting to figure out that lagering yeast and lagering like pilsners and other styles of lager end up still even in modern brewing age with like a steely with a steely metallic finish, and the honey malt really balances that out. Yep. The idea of using it in an IPA is not something that's it's even less common than seeing it in the lager world. And I mean, the combination of hops that you use to play off that extra sweetness is absolutely fantastic.
No, I've seen when it comes to an IPA, people brewing it with honey, actual honey.
Yeah, brewing with honey, but not using the actual honey malt because it's a completely different sugar.
Right.
No, it is. I've had, the grains, Hops and Grains, I had theirs not too long ago, the one that they did it with 160 pounds of honey and stuff like that. And while it's funny, the actual honey makes it taste artificially sweet,
mm-hmm.
while this one tastes naturally sweet. And I really enjoy that difference.
So what's the hop build on Sunny Day?
It's exclusively Citra. So we Citra, of course, for bittering, and we have a dosing, as I recall, about halfway through at the end, and we dry hop it a week later. So it's a fair amount of Citra on it.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's delicious. We're going for the Ghost
Ship next?
We're
going after Ghost Ship next. And, you know, I'm sure some people are probably thinking that as they're listening to this, you know, why did you go wheat blonde IPA Goza? Well, it's very simple. The idea of a Goza being more of a salt based beer, it actually activates your entire palate and gives you more of an umami sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is that actually resets your palate for what's going to come afterwards, which is the beer that I'm super excited about. But we'll get to that in a second.
Oh no, I had the Ketchrigan, mm-hmm. and then I had a small taste of your.
Completely
ghost, just because I wanted to clean that out, you know, and then I had that last beer that we're going to talk about soon. So
indeed. So, Ghost Ship Goza, Mr. Mark.
Ghost Ship Goza.
One of my favorites.
We had the idea to do a sour beer, but we far too often heard it's just too sour, I can't drink it. So we were looking for a sour beer that most people could enjoy. If you don't like sour, you're not going to like any of them. We were looking for one step before that where I could tolerate a somewhat sour beer. And that's where we struck our balance with Ghost Ship Ghost.
Now,
that sea salt will get you.
We use sea salt and coriander, yes.
Yeah, that sea salt and that spice note will get you get like right back at the jaw. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'm starting to enjoy Ghosts a lot. And I remember one weekend, I went to Texas Beer Finder, which is basically a block away from here. And I had their smoked Ghosts.
See, you're going down the lines of what I was gonna say. Okay. Also, please continue.
And it was amazing, really really good ghost. But of course they had, I don't want to discredit them, but they had to get, you know, they smoked it. It was it had a little bit more work into it. Come over here, natural ghost,
mm-hmm.
and it's just it blew my mind.
So my evolution to drinking Gozas is kind of weird because, like, Martin House makes Our Salty Lady, which mm-hmm. is considered, like, the best Goza in the state, and I get through about 8 ounces of it, and I've got to switch to another beer because the salt just gets to me. So because you and I think we had Smosa at the exact same time.
Yeah, we did.
Over at Texas Beer Refinery, and my love affair with that brewery is insanely well documented. But even then, like, the Smosa still didn't, like, bring me over to that side of sours. And granted, you're older, you're wiser, and I wasn't that heavily into sours at the point. But then after talking with Mark for a few times and actually like going through all of the commercial releases that Galveston Bay has, I find myself now walking in and the first thing that I'm ordering is a Goza.
Goza
almost every single time.
We have a convert.
Yeah, it really is just a testament to Mark and to Skyler as far as from a production standpoint is concerned, where you're taking a style that conventionally 90% of drinkers would never ever touch and turning it into what could be considered more of a non-traditional but still mainstream selection.
And it's like the saltiness is not overbearing at all. The saltiness is just, it's complementary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the saltiness moves from one end of the spectrum to like kind of the other way. So it's like by the end, it's like, oh, they get that sour.
Man, if you sold cracklins here and that beer, I would die of like a sodium overdose because that would be amazing.
And we have a taproom only variant of that, which is Green Apple Goza.
It's so good.
It is really good. It does not last very long.
It's so good.
The pucker of a green apple natural flavor with that Goza pairs perfectly.
Yeah. Man. And we're doing Bull Shark.
So let's talk about the beer of the hour.
Bull Shark is the beer of the hour.
So Bull Shark is the beer of the hour, and it's our beer of the month because it's the beer of the month.
It is the beer of the month. I take back what I said earlier.
That's fine. You can
only
take
because
it back.
I was not thinking straight and I had a drought of no beers for 5 days, so and then it come with Galveston Bay and I'm like, ah, beers everywhere, and I had like 4 beers already. So
the great thing there's a lot of greatness here with Bull Shark because you don't have a whole lot of options in the Scotch Ale category.
Wait, before we keep going, I'd like to say that I had a Bull Shark while we were recording, and it technically bitch slapped me into saying, wow, why did you say something else with Beer of the Month when you had Bull Shark here? Okay, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you've got the best of like every world from a beer standpoint. To start with, there's basically no options in the Scotch Ale category outside of Old Chubb and basically everything imported here in the state.
There was one not too long ago that I'm trying to remember. It was actually barrel aged. That was highly like sought after.
Yeah, it was barrel aged Old Chubb in the Stovepipe Camps 1903 from Oscar Blues rum barrel.
Okay.
So you basically have nothing in the category. 90 Shilling tries to be in the in that Scotch Ale category, but 90 Shilling is really a hoppy amber when you break it down. You're looking at Boddington's, Schmidt's. Basically, everyone from Scotland is coming over in nitro. So you really,
right.
when you really look at what's available in the state, you've got from time to time some bombers that come into the city or the state that are really overpriced in the Scotch Ale category, or you have Old Chubb. Now that was those were your only choices until this week when Galveston Bay released Bull Shark Scotch Ale in 4-packs. We'll talk about that in a second as to why I'm so excited about it being 4-packs. But this is a gorgeous representation of what you can actually do when you try with malt and you pay attention to your malt bill, because the Scottish style of brewing and all of the Scottish and Irish styles are malt driven. So you have the 60 shilling, the 90 shilling, the 120, and the 180, all of which have their own designations. The 60 shilling is a table beer, the 90 shilling is the Scotch ale, the 120 is the wee heavy, the 180 is the double heavy. When you're drinking Bull Shark, what you're actually drinking is something that is a hybrid between the 60 and the 90, more like a 75 shilling, because you still get that very light embodiment of a table beer, but you get this mouth-punching, full-bodied flavor that you're just not ready from an ale that clocks in at just 6.3%. The embodiment of this beer really drinks more like an 8 or a 9 percenter, but it's not going to get you to that, like, boozy head. And it's a 4-pack, which makes it a lot easier to drink a 4-pack than it is a 6-pack. No, sorry, I've been pontificating about this beer for like 2 days. Mark, please.
You're absolutely right. I'd have to go look at the recipe. I believe it's 8 different grains we use to compile the grain bill in this Scottish ale. It was the only recipe I brought from the brew pub in Louisiana. It was an award winner there. It's an award winner here. I mean, it was the most sought after. I suspect that on a 12-month basis is our best seller. Of course, when it's 100 degrees outside, watermelon and blueberry outseller for sure. But on a 12-month basis.
I don't know. Well, as someone that's a total hophead, I think that's an all-year-rounder, too.
I'm sorry?
It's like an all year
round. Oh, it definitely sells all year round. I just don't know that it would be outselling.
It's going to pop open in a minute. Okay. And you can just eat it.
Oh, neat. We're going to eat it.
Right.
Fresh oysters is coming around, so.
You like oysters?
I am not an oyster fan.
I am an oysters fan. Wait, what team, what city do they play with the oysters? Never mind. We spoke stroke. So anyways, this one has no modifications from the brew pub? Or?
Nope. That's the exact recipe. No changes at all.
Any seasonals that we're supposed to know about? Special event ones?
Special event ones, yes. And I would have to go look and see what we have. We've got 4 barrel aging right now. And those releases should start coming out.
I know they did in October. They released rum barrel bull shark.
Yes, we have been very fortunate to be the lucky recipients of some Raylene rum barrels. So we take those as soon as we get them from them, and we'll put something in there. Typically, something heavier and darker. We've done bull shark. We've done our ex-spouse bitter. We've done a couple of others where it's a nice maltier, heavier kind of beer that will barrel age. And but again, we try to keep all 4 barrels always full of something, because again, it takes 6 to 12 months
exactly
for it to condition where you want it to be.
No, it's delicious. Like I said, this was my last beer I drank before we started recording, and I love it. And now they're in cans.
Indeed,
they are.
Yep.
And you know, we've been really, really fortunate with the retail partners for price point wise, because if you go out into the market, you'll be able to find Bull Shark at Total Wine, at Whole Foods, at Specs, at HEB, at all your independent retailers, and the average price that you're going to pay per 4-pack is $6.50.
Right.
If you want to go on the low side, you're going to pay $6.29 at HEB. If you are loyal to Specs, you're going to pay $6.72. But one way or another, you're paying under $7 for a craft beer.
A very well-made craft beer.
A very super high-quality
craft. And
that's
probably the most consistent feedback we get from our in-store demos that we're doing, is they're surprised by the pricing of it.
Now, what was the thinking behind the 4-pack instead of the 6-pack?
A couple of things. We were trying to keep the price point down. We went out and looked at others in the market and said, you know, everyone's in the $8.50 to $11 range. And for me, for an impulse buy, that's kind of pricey for an impulse buy. Because I've had, as you guys have had, a 6-pack where I had one and said, that's it. I'm not having any more of this. And so I've wasted $7.50. So we thought that at $6, I think we were looking for $6.90 initially. We've actually gotten lower than that. But at $6.90, I think you're more inclined to buy it on impulse and take a chance, and you won't be disappointed. Or if you know you like it, you'll buy 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that is kind of smart. I forgot which one was the last one that I did where I was like, I drank one, and I'm like...
Yeah, it's great what you said about the impulse bikes. That's kind of my thinking a lot of times when I'm going down there. It's just like, oh, here's like this unknown quantity, you know, but am I going to gamble $10 on this?
Right.
You know, 9 out of 10 times, it's like, well, let's go with what's going to make the most economic sense.
So we don't think it's a gamble, but now we're only asking you to spend $6.50 to make sure you like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. Anyways, but any big events coming up soon for Galveston Bay? Because
I'm trying to keep up with our expansion. Yeah, we've been in constant growth mode since we got licensed 2 years ago. We're still in constant growth mode. Finding new room for more fermenters, finding the place to store more cans. I mean, that's just our daily challenge around here, is trying to keep up.
No, I enjoy, I went to TBR and then they were like, hey, there's another brewery down the road. Mm-hmm. And I came over here and tried it. It's like, I'm so amazed that there's 2 of them, closer, 2 great breweries. Because both of you guys and TBR do a great job to represent the Gulf Coast.
Thank you. It's the most common question we get is, do you make it on site? And the answer is, we're required to make it on site. I can't bring anything in from off premises. It must be made here on premises.
The one thing I hope you guys do soon is Growler Fest.
We wish we could. We're not allowed to. We're a manufacturing brewery and not a brew pub. If we were a brew pub, we could do growler fills. Since we're not a brew pub, we can't do it. And I considered changing licenses and then changing back. And that's the reason right there I can't do that. I'm pointing to a school across the street you can't see. There's a school across the street.
Yeah.
And if I were to ever let the license lapse, I could never get licensed again. So rather than take a chance, I could only go back for at the most 2 years. But I've got to come back to manufacturer again. So rather than take a chance on that, I have to play it safe and make sure that I stay a manufactured brewery.
Nope. I just hope Texas takes its head out of his ass. And
in the meantime, you're getting into the grocery market.
Yes.
You're getting out there.
Yes, but we would be thrilled to be able to sell growlers to go. We hear that question every single day here.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. No. I'd love some catch rigging to take home.
So. It is a winner. People who don't like IPAs like our double IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, again, balanced out with a good grain bill and not just double hopped.
Exactly. And I do like when we started, well, Sean and I got here early. We came around 3:30, and, of course, no one was here because it was an open.
But we let you in and we fed you.
Oh, yeah.
Fed me with beer.
That's the best place to do it.
But no, and as time progresses, when it opens up, man, it's getting packed in here.
Yes.
So that's amazing to hear.
Yes, so I guess I told you half the story a minute ago. The brewery's in constant expansion mode. The taproom's in constant expansion mode. So we're already figuring out how we take out a wall to increase the capacity here. That will require us to put in a second exit for fire code. Mm. So it's a constant expansion of the taproom as well.
But that's always a good thing.
That's always a good thing, but it's still an issue
to
manage.
It's still a headache, yeah. Yeah. Funny story real quick while you're here. See these chairs right there?
I do.
About maybe less than a year ago, a friend of mine came over here, and we took a picture with these airplane chairs that you have. This is not visual, so...
Yeah. Explain for the
There's
listener.
A couple of chairs. There's pairs of chairs out here that are...
They're first-class seats taken out of a United Airlines DC-10.
So there you go. First-class seats from the United Airlines.
I thought they were especially.
Yeah, he got in there and was like, what airline has these? And he settled comfortably in it. A friend of mine, we took a picture in them and we said, hey, we're on our way to Japan. And we posted it on Facebook. That joke went on for 3 days. It was amazing. People were like, oh, are you guys having a good time? And people were messaging me like, are you really in Japan? I wouldn't message anyone back. We ended up posting up a sign of the Narita Airport.
See, I knew you were in Japan, but Ryan, we posted a picture
of the Narita Airport, and people actually started going to Google Images just to find out if we were telling the truth.
Wow.
And that all started here.
Well, I'm glad we could help. Having been in the aircraft parts business for 25 years, when I bought those, I thought I'd hit a home run. List price on the set you see there is about $45,000.
What?
But they are worthless.
Oh.
Nobody wants cloth first class. They want leather first class.
Oh.
So what I thought was a home run turned into a strikeout. So this is the most they'll ever serve me.
I don't know, man. They're comfortable.
Investment.
Well,
$45,000.
Well, that's list price on them. You wouldn't sell something for list price.
But still.
Ooh.
They are the best use. Right there is comfortable chairs in the tap room.
I mean, Eighth Wonder has Astrodome chairs. You have first class.
Way more comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, every tap room needs a really weird conversation piece.
Yeah.
First class seating. Actually, you know what, now that I think about it? That's the only tap room in the state that has first class seating.
Exactly. You need to rope this off and sell tickets.
And even though they're United seats, we'll still take care of you over there.
Oh. Yeah, you should do that. 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 6 seats.
Got 6.
Put them up as a VIP section. There you go.
And first class is still good service.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being
glad
on the show
thank
with
you
us.
Guys.
It's always a pleasure visiting the brewery. I've been here a ton of times.
Good. So, we like that number.
And you've been here a ton of times, too.
Yeah, mostly for business, though. I haven't had nearly
you
as
always
many
have
times
a beer,
here for pleasure.
It's unusual to see a beer in his hand, yes.
It actually is. Normally, I'm showing up for to pick up kegs or keg returns or grabbing signage. Mark went into scramble mode for me last week. So when the new Total Wine opens up at the Baybrook Mall, Galveston Bay has its own end cap. So there's a there's a 4 foot section of nothing but bull shark just sitting there waiting for people to come by. But the scramble was getting the sign. Yes. And you would be amazed at how hard it is to find somebody to make a 60 by 48 inch sign on a week's
notice.
It
sounded so easy when they asked us. I said, sure.
Yeah, it's because simple. We will not call a print shop. Nothing. No, we end up being in scramble mode, and I showed up here after getting South Shore set up for their tastings and their big display over the weekend. I got here just in time to pick up a vinyl banner, only to scramble around the craft stores to try to find a backboard for it to use to go up on the end cap. But you know, at the end of the day, it's. You know, and it's one thing that Mark and I both agree in is that you do what you have to for your customers.
Sure. Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
You do what you have to do for your clients. So you know, we made it happen for Total Wine, and it looks really awesome over there. But yeah, I'm definitely here way more for business than I am for pleasure. It never fails.
Well, we're gonna fix you not having a beer in your hand.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I like how you're like so shocked that he's like professional when he's on the show.
I am. No. It's Eric though. That's not.
I know, you get three beers and go back on the road.
You listen to me on the podcast. You're like, Jesus Christ, this dude's actually a pro at this. I actually am. It's kind of weird.
No, it's more. It's not that. It's like, oh Jesus Christ, the guy doesn't have liver damage and he's dying.
No. Because it's called moderation. Drink responsibly. Drink responsibly.
No, always. Yes, please do that. Always have a DD. Or Uber app on your phone.
That's right.
So
Uber does pick up at the tap room.
Indeed. So real quick, one of the things that we do with all of the breweries that we host shows at, just a quick rundown of stats, size of brew house.
We are 20 barrel on the hot side, 40 barrel on the cold side.
How many fermenters?
3 right now.
How many bright tanks?
3. We actually, they do double duty. So each fermenter has a carb stone in it to be able to do a fermenter and bright duty as well.
Okay, and formatting on everything except for Bull Shark, you're in 6 quarters and half barrels?
Correct.
And then on Bull Shark, we're in 4-pack cans?
4-pack 12-ounce.
Coming this year, we'll see watermelon.
Wheat,
watermelon.
4-pack 12-ounce.
Blueberry?
I believe we'll be in 4-pack 12-ounce.
Will we see Ghost Ship potentially also?
The next one is a challenge for two reasons. One is we need to figure out what's going to do well, and now we're talking 6 months to 8 months in the future, what's going to sell well at that time of year, and do I have the storage space back there to store another 160,000 cans? All can orders are 160,000 cans.
Now, I know Skyler has a penchant for wanting to barrel-age things and do sort of fun kind of one-offs under like bottle conditioning.
Yes.
Any chances of seeing a pint bottle or a 750 in the near future?
Not in the near future. that's a taproom release, and we're happy to do them in the taproom. I like doing that too, but they have to be limited to here. We're pretty much at capacity with 12-ounce cans. We have a brand new canning machine. We don't mind running the heck out of it, but we don't have a bottling machine.
Yeah, and you've got a forehead Wild Goose, right?
We got a forehead, 40 cans a minute. We got it up to 40 cans a minute, but the pack-out table couldn't keep up, so we had to back it down to about 33 cans a minute.
Dude, those Wild Goose jobs, they're things of beauty.
Yes.
They're absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous lines. Total number of recipes?
Wow. I would have to count. I'm going to guess around 50. Nice. Because some of those, such as Equinox, we only release that on the Equinox, Vernal and Autumnal. Firecrackers only 4th of July. Winter Warmers only December. So we have some of these that are only released one time a year. But I'm putting those in that 50 to number or so. But constant rotation here, easily 40.
That's awesome. Yeah. Let's say, and total... So the taps available, you're at what, 13, 14?
Correct.
Yeah, so we got tap room capacity holds probably close to 50 people. You
50.
Got 14.
Yes.
14 taps all the time, all 6 commercial brews plus 8 rotational out of the 40. So you never know what you're going to get when you show up here. Guys, all over the city, all over the region, all over the state, come down here and check out Galveston Bay. They really and truly are the hidden gem of the Clear Lake brewing scene right now.
And like I said earlier, a perfect representation of the Gulf Coast.
Absolutely.
All right, well, thank you, Mark, for joining us.
We brew, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
We're going to have another beer before we leave, so let's do that.
I have to go pick up medicine for my daughter.
I'm enjoying my time here at Galveston Bay.
I'm enjoying it very much. I always enjoy my time here.
I do. I've been here a couple times, and it's such an amazing thing to have Galveston Bay and TBR
so close to each other.
Yeah.
It's you know, like, really close to Duo Winery and Cider, too.
Oh, yeah, I do. I've never been there. Maybe we should go there one day.
One day soon. I met Craig last week for the first time. Really nice guy. I'm going to wait until they're not just a kegging facility. So that's all they are right now. It's just kegging. So I'm going to wait until they can actually do a lot of the production there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that really leads us into sort of a new thing that we're going to do for 2017 for Breathe and Booze Out, previewing the next month.
Yeah, we've gone totally right. nerdy, and now we're like an anime. We need like a hip anime song. Yeah.
I'm not going to name names, and somebody here on the podcast that hosts this thing said they were going to come up with some music for this.
Oh, yeah, me, but I haven't yet. Excuse me.
Next time on Breathe and Booze Out.
Yeah,
actually, like, kind of. Yeah, that kind of works. So, yeah.
Hold on. Do it officially, Sean.
Next time on Breathe and Booze Out.
God damn it.
My sweet Anyways, so Jesus Christ.
G-Rock Strip, G-Rock Riff.
So one of the things that we're going to start doing is we're going to start previewing the next shows for both beer and whiskey. And next go round in February, okay. We're going to be talking about a little bit about love. A little bit about love in all the right places. And we're also going to be talking for the very first time ever, cider.
Mm. What's that?
Cider?
Is that juice?
No. And yes. But we're going to be featuring Argus Cidery on the next go-round. And they have sent us a very lovely gift pack of all of their bone dry ciders, including one that's more of like a steel, stainless steel aged apple wine.
Mm. It does sound pretty good. Like, ciders would be right up my alley. Because I just don't, you know, like, I'm a pansy when it comes to bitterness. And they're like the polar end of the spectrum. I mean, you know me, like, I can drink beer all night, but you give me, like, ciders and wines, and it's just like, it's game on.
Sean's like, Valentine's Day for me.
Give me some Frisky Zebra from the Dollar Man in the Specs.
I gotta say this real quick. So we went to a convention one day, and of course we do, like, hotel rooms, hang out at the convention, you know. And so we went to a Specs nearby. Uh-huh. Sean picked up something called Frisky Zebra.
You're fired.
It was a...
I'm sorry, hold on. You're fired.
It was a South African wine.
Well, no, South Africans make great wine. Hold on. It's called Frisky Zebra.
Frisky Zebra, South African wine, in a carton pouch.
For the ease of it. I mean, come on. We're adults.
Oh, you're so fired.
And it was clearance. Oh, God, everyone's Amber Alert going on.
Yes, no, it's flash flood. We gotta get out of here.
We gotta get out of here soon. Anyways, let me go in.
Yeah. Quick and dirty, let's go.
It was $1.69.
Hell yeah, it is. Good job,
Sean. I got my dollars worth, let me tell you. For the rest of the night that I remember.
Cool.
You don't remember much because it tasted like toilet hooch.
Wait. Oh, cool. Well, gentlemen, lovely kickoff New Year.
Yes. I mean, we're in Houston. Everybody in Houston knows that when it rains, we got to get home and stay home.
Yeah, because it's about to flood down here, down in Galveston County. So, peace out, guys. We'll see you in February.
Yeah, from myself, what's your name?
Well, that's Sean.
Eric, Sean, and Kristen. Good night, Space City.